Morning. Today's Daf Nechulin is Daf Ches. We begin the fourth parak of the Masechta. I'm sure everyone's heard this before, in terms of a phenomena by Shechita, but we have not formally introduced it so far yet in the Masechta. We're 68 blot into the Masechta, so you think at one point in time it would have come up in conversation. It came up briefly earlier in the Masechta, but here's the parak that deals with the topic straight on, and that is the topic of Ben Pekua. Not so long ago, we had the schus of Rabbi Ben David, the author of Sichas Chulin. So he came to the community, and he dissected an animal. And he is mamash; he's an expert. He knows all about treifas, and he knows about biology, and he knows anatomy, and he knows halacha. And so what he did is he brought it to life. He took the born animal here, and he dissected it. It was a goat. And lo and behold, as he put his put his hand on the stomach of the goat, it's a female. So he came across a fantastic little discovery, in that not only was there one goat, but there were really two goats, and there was a fetus developing inside. And so we got what was called a bonus round. The way I described that, it was a great afternoon here at the shul. So I described it as being a biology class followed then by a halacha class, followed then by a little bit of drama, okay. And there was a developing fetus inside, so he took the fetus out and he dissected the fetus as well. Now, you know, for those of you who are a little bit queasy in the stomach, so I wouldn't have recommended that you went. But anyway, and we know the halach is as follows: that an uber is nitar b'shchitas imo, and that means as follows: that when you have a fetus developing inside of an animal and you shech the animal, so not only does the Shechita allow for the consumption of the animal, but it also allows for the consumption of the fetus as well. And so this is a halacha that's extraordinarily interesting, because if you think about it, you say to yourself, well, the fetus is its own independent life, meaning it wouldn't require its own shechita, and that's in fact not the case. The shechita the fetus inside does not require its own shechita, but the shechita of the mother actually serves as a shechita for both the mother and for the fetus inside. It's a really interesting halacha in of itself. The Mishnah assumes that we all know this halacha. By the way, the term to describe that fetus is a ben pakua, okay? The child that, quote-unquote, breaks out. Didn't break out, by the way, it was inside. But that's the term that we use to describe this fetus. We'll discuss more details of the halacha is about the ben pakua. Today's daf, we're just introducing the topic, and we're really only focusing on one aspect of the ben pakua. In order for the fetus to not require a shechita, so it needs only but one condition, and that is it has to be inside of the mother. It has to be inside the uterus of the mother. It doesn't really matter if the fetus is viable, not viable, has reached the point of full gestation, full term, not full term, it doesn't matter. Once you shech the mother, so you can go ahead and you can consume the fetus even without a shechita. We'll talk more later on. What if the fetus, after the shechita, experiences a birth? What if it walks around afterwards? What if it grows up? Is it going to require shechita at a later point in its life? We'll discuss that later in this parak, discuss that particular issue. But in the meantime, however, that's the basic halacha. What else is basic to the Mishnah? As I pointed out, every part of the fetus has to be in utero. If there's any part of the fetus that extended outside of the uterus, so that is no longer in the environment of the mother, it's no longer b'michitzasa, in its walls, and so therefore whatever part left the mother is no longer mutter. The only part of the fetus that's going to be mutter is that which is in utero. All this is most basic to the Mishnah, and from there, let's proceed.
The Mishnah talks about the head coming up, but how about the leg, same thing? The
Mishnah's going to talk about it. Coming up. Mishnah begins. So let's say the mother is struggling to give birth. Now that particular detail of the Mishnah is interesting. It doesn't seem to be relevant to the entire discussion of the Mishnah. We don't know. I'll say it better. I don't know why the Mishnah opens up with that particular detail. But anyway, the fetus is right now struggling to come out. And so before the fetus does so we shecht. But before we shecht, hotzi ha'ubar es yado, ve'chziro. And then what happens is that a hand extended, and then the hand retracted. So mutar b'achila, one is allowed to eat it. Now I'm going to be very careful about how I say over the Mishnah, in that you can easily assume that we're talking about the limb that extended. Right? Mutar b'achila, it is mutar b'achila. But right now what I'm going to do is, let's avoid that. Let's not say it is referring to the hand that extended. Let's just simply say right now, I'm going to be as vague as possible, which I know is not what I want. I want to be as clear as possible. But right now I'll be very vague and I'll just simply say it. It is mutar b'achila, you're allowed to eat it. Okay, let's leave it at that. By the way, not the first time historically that we had a hand come out and then come back in again. Right? By Yaakov, I was so funny. I was thinking about Yehuda, right? Yehuda, Tamar, and the twins, right? Where a hand came out and then a hand came back in. They even tied a ribbon, not a ribbon, but a bendel. they put a bendel on the hand. Okay, so the first half of the Mishnah talks about the limb going out and coming back in again. Hotzia is rosho. Now, what if the head of the fetus emerged? So now it's over. When I say it's over, I'm meaning that now it is born. And at that point in time now, it is a totally independent entity of the mother. And where it is now is not going to be playing any relevance whatsoever to its status. It is now considered its own entity, and there is no way now that it can become mutter with the shechita of its mother. Hotias rosho, afapish echziro. And even if it goes and retracts and goes back into the uterus, it doesn't matter. Hareza ki yulud. It's going to be like a born entity, and so therefore, the shechita of the mother will not allow for the consumption of this, I'd say fetus, but it's no longer a fetus. It is now, it's a born animal, just happens to be living inside of the mother, but it's born. Another very interesting halacha. The fetus, and I understand this is somewhat indelicate, but still, the basic halacha is as follows. When it comes to the fetus, you can chop the fetus up inside of the mother, and still, the shechita of the mother will serve as a shechita for the fetus inside. Even though the fetus, of course, now at this point in time, is not viable, it's not even in one piece. It's cut up into many pieces, it doesn't matter. The shechita of the mother is going to serve as a heter for the fetus developing inside. Interestingly enough, we can't say this about any other organ of the mother. The Mishnah says, min atchol o min aklayos, if however I were to cut the spleen, or the spleen or the kidneys. So usur ba'achila. So you can't eat the spleen and the kidney. Now, everyone remember, why is the Mishnah over here talking about these two particular organs? Because the cutting of these organs does not render the animal a trefa. Right? If we were talking about an organ that would render an animal a trefa, then obviously we would have a totally new problem, which we don't want. And that is the mother would be a trefa. So we speak about these particular organs because as we learned earlier in the third parak, meaning the previous parak, that these particular organs are not necessary for the viability of life of the mother, and so therefore, if you cut them, so the mother's not a trefa, but that's not the point of the Mishnah. The point of the Mishnah is that they are, you can't eat the spleen and the kidney, even though they were inside the mother at the time of the shechita. Now, why should that be? We touched on this earlier, back in Daf Lamed Gimel, we spent a lot of time talking about this idea. The shechita of an animal allows for all parts of its animal to be consumed, obviously with exceptions, the dam, the chalev, the giron asher, right, they're parts of an animal you can't eat, but allows for the consumption of all the muscle and all the organs of the animal to be eaten, but that's because it's connected and attached to its mother. Once an organ is disconnected, even though it's in the body, it's not going to become mutter with the shechita. So what the Mishnah over here wants to do is contrast a really interesting halacha. When it comes to the fetus, I don't need attachment. As long as it's inside, that's going to be sufficient for the allowance of the consumption of the fetus. When it comes to any other organ, I do need attachment. Without the attachment, that organ does not become permitted with the shechita of the animal in which the organs are lying therein. The Mishnah says it succinctly. is that klal davar shegufo aser v'she'ino gufo mutar. Something which is part and parcel of the body, that is going to be prohibited if it's not attached at the time of shechita. But something which is not part of the mother, i.e. the fetus, is going to be mutter, even though it's not currently attached to the mother. All you need for the fetus is to be inside of the mother, but not necessarily attached.
Not only a fetus, but a piece of the fetus.
Right, correct. Right. Agreed. The discussion of the Gemara, not today, but in general that we have every time we discuss a fetus, is whether uber yerech imo or uber lav yerech imo. It's a common debate that takes place throughout all of Shas, and that is how to view a fetus. Is a fetus developing inside of a mother considered like another limb of the mother, or uber lav yerech imo? Or is it not considered a limb of the mother? Is it considered an independent entity? And just recently, we had this debate coming up in the Gemara as explaining a different machlokas altogether. It could very well be that that issue doesn't really weigh into our discussion. Because over here, even if you're going to take the position of uber yerech imo, but still, what does that mean? It means that the fetus is considered a limb of the mother, but this is a different halacha. This is the halacha of what becomes mutter with shechita, with the act of shechita. And as we're going to be learning drashas later on, not only is the mother, the animal itself going to become mutter with the shechita, but the fetus inside as well. And it could be totally irrespective of whether or not the fetus is considered yerech imo or lav yerech imo. And again, this is going to be discussed numerous times, but that may not play whatsoever a factor into our discussion and debate right here. And that's not a debate.
If you say yerech imo, it would be no chiddush. That it is, if you say yerech imo, then obviously it's part of the mother, so you don't need to
speak. If you cut up the uber, it might be the
chiddush. Right. We could discuss this. We'll discuss it after. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. And so now to the Mishnah. So remember now the first half of the Mishnah. The fetus's limb extended outside the mother and then goes back into the mother. And the Mishnah then said, under those circumstances, mutar b'achila. And when I said over the Mishnah, I was super careful not to say what is mutar b'achila. And there really are two options, and believe it or not, there's even going to be a third option. But your two options are as follows. One, we're talking about the limb. Now, that makes the most sense in the world because that's the object of the Mishnah. The focus of the Mishnah is talking about that limb that went out and came back in again. So the simplest way to say the Mishnah is that if the limb goes out, but it comes back in again, so good. Meaning, so now you're allowed to eat that limb. Why? Because it comes back in again. That's one way to say over the Mishnah. That's the easiest way to say the Mishnah, but that represents the biggest chiddush. Because consider that limb. That limb was not always inside of the mother. It wasn't always ba behema. At one point, before the shechita, it emerged outside the mother. And what we're saying, if we're saying that's talking about the limb, here's what we're saying. When it goes outside, it's aser. And when it comes back in again, it becomes mutter all over again. That's a big chiddush. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that when we're saying mutar b'achila, we're talking about the rest of the fetus, not the limb that emerged. The limb that emerged, that's aser, and it will always be aser. And it retracting and going back into the mother is not going to help it in terms of its status. It has a status of iser, and will always remain aser. When the Mishnah says mutar b'achila, it's only talking about the rest of the fetus. And so, those are my two options I present to you in terms of how to understand the Mishnah. And Rav Yehuda Amar Rav is going to take a very strong stand. It is the second option. It's talking about the fetus being mutter. The limb that emerged is aser and will always be aser, irrespective of whether it comes back in or it does not come back in again. Let's see this in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, ve'aver atzmo aser. The limb is always aser. And I'll add, even if it goes back in. My time Amakra. And we're going to go back to last week's Parsha. So your memory doesn't have to go that far back. Just think of laning in yesterday, in Shul. Pasuk says, Amakra, Ubasa basada trefa lo sochel. It's an unusual Pasuk in the following. The Pasuk's basic idea is that you're not allowed to eat a trefa. Good. Ubasa basada trefa lo sochel. You know when the animal's out in the field and a treifa, you're not allowed to eat it. What does the field have anything to do with this? It's a treifa or it's not a treifa. And where the animal is totally irrelevant to whether it's in the field, it's in the barn, could be in your house, who cares? So what are we doing with that pasuk of basa basada b'treifa lo sochelu? We're now understanding the pasuk on a new level, on a different level. It is now a broader discussion of when something is encased in an environment, a protective environment, and it exits that protective environment. So now it's a treifa. Whatever left that protective environment is no longer mutter. Once it leaves, it's going to be aser. The behema is the host mother. That's the mechitza. And once it goes out into the sadeh, meaning it leaves the mechitza, no longer acceptable. Sorry. So that means now, according to Rav, once the limb emerges, the limb is a treifa. The Mishnah says mutar b'achila, it's talking about the uber. The Gemara now wants to see whether or not this is in fact a viable way of explaining the Mishnah. Tanan, let's go back to the Mishnah. Treifa over here just simply means status of Isser. Right. In other words, I made this point earlier in the Masechta. We colloquially use the term treifa as a ubiquitous term to describe anything that we're not allowed to eat. Sometimes the Torah does that as well. And like, here's a wonderful example. It's not a treifa per se in the classic sense, but in other words, but it's the status of Isser. Tanan. So, all we're doing is just simply reading the Mishnah. Now, I already made this point back in the Mishnah, but I made it because I prepared. Meaning, I knew the Gemara was going to say this. Meaning, what is the simplest way to read the Mishnah? When it says, Mutar b'achila, what's Mutar b'achila? So, my lava aver, presumably, is talking about the limb. Because that is the focus of the Mishnah. The Gemara says, not necessarily, lo, a'ubar. No. The heter achila is talking about the fetus that remained inside of the mother. So, I a'ubar, my iria hechziro. Afila lo hechziro. So, interesting. So, we're talking about the fetus. So, then what do I need any detail regarding the limb? You know, the limb went out. You know, the limb came back in again. Oh, and you know what's mutter? The fetus. What are you giving me a whole storyline regarding the limb? It doesn't matter. It's totally immaterial. So, the Gemara says, afila lo hechziro nami. So Gemara says, of course you're right. It is immaterial. But you know why the Mishnah gave us a little bit of a storyline regarding the limb? Because it wanted to contrast it to the next halach in the Mishnah, and that is, and what if that were the head that emerged and came back in again? So there now we have a chiddush. V'ai didikabai Mishnah Seifa. We want to hear the end of the Mishnah, which is Hotzias Rosho Afa Pishach Zero Hareze Kiyulud. Now we have a chiddush in the second half of the Mishnah. The head goes out, the head comes back in again. The fetus is now no longer a fetus. It is now considered a born entity. Even though it goes back in again. So Tananami Resha Hechziro. So therefore the Resha also is giving me the same scenario, even though in the Resha it's immaterial. So the Gemara says, so you're telling me now that the entire purpose of the Mishnah is to just teach me a halacha regarding Rosho. Really, that's fascinating. It's only fascinating because we knew this already. This is information that's readily available to us. All we have to do is just know a couple of other Mishnayos, and we're going to see it so clearly. And so now you're telling me that don't look at the Rosho of our Mishnah for any kind of Chiddush. No, that's not the Chiddush. The Chiddush is the safe of the Mishnah. And now what the Gemara is about to argue is that's not a Chiddush as well. And then what's eventually going to happen is, well, the Rosho is not a Chiddush, and the Seif is not a Chiddush, and then what was the whole point of the Mishnah? Well, let's see all this inside. Seif anami kamashman de kevin diatza rosha havilei leida. Well, the Seif is there to teach me that if the head emerges, so that's considered birth. Tanina. We knew this already based on other Mishnayos. And the Mishnah teaches us as follows. Now, in order to understand this Mishnah, it's a Mishnah Bechoros. We're starting Bechoros right on Erev Pesach. Good time to start. The Mishnah over here talks about a firstborn, which has many different applications in terms of the halacha of being a firstborn. We're focusing on two. One, we're going to be focusing on a firstborn regarding Nachla, getting the Pishnayim. Two, we're going to be talking about a firstborn vis-a-vis the halacha Pejan HaBen. And the parameters of what makes a person firstborn for one is not the parameter for what makes a firstborn for another. For the halacha Pishnayim, so the Torah says you have to be Reishis Ono, it has to be the father's firstborn. But in addition to that, the fetus that comes out, the child that comes out, has to be a viable, healthy child. Now, that does not mean that the child has to live for any kind of period of time. But in other words, what has to emerge is a viable fetus, or a viable child, I should say, that went to full term and came out alive. If, let's say, Rachmanis was a stillborn, so there is no halacha of Pishnayim. For reasons which we're not going to go through right now, when we get to Becharos, we'll go over the drashos. We'll explain why. Right now, we don't need it. I mean, it's good to know, but we don't need it right now. That's the halacha regarding Pishnayim. What's the halacha regarding Pidgin Aben? It's very simple. Peter Rechem. As long as it came out through the birthing canal of the mother, that is now the firstborn legabe Pidgin Aben. Anything that comes out subsequent to that is no longer considered a Bechor, vis-a-vis Pidgin HaBen. Or as the Mishnah's explanation, as the Mishnah's terminology, a Bechor LeKohanim. It's not going to be a Bechor LeKohanim if there was something that emerged earlier. Now when I say something, I mean it doesn't have to reach full term. It does not have to come out alive. As long as something broke through the mother's birthing canal, that is now, that subsequent child is no longer going to be requiring a Pidgin HaBen. Good. These are the basic parameters now regarding a Bechor LeNachla versus a Bechor LeKohanim. And the Mishnah tells us, Eze Bechor LeNachla veze Bechor LeKohanim, Haba Acher Nefalim Afa Pishiyatza Rosh Ochai. Let's say something, the second offspring comes out after the first one was a Nephil. Let's say Nephil meaning it didn't even get to full term. Oh, Bentes Shiyatza Rosh Ochai. Or let's say it did get to full term, but Rachmanis was a stillborn. So under those circumstances, whatever comes subsequently is going to be it's not going to be Peter Rechem, and it's not going to be Chayiv in Pidgin HaBen, but it will be a Bechor LeNachla. And that second child now that emerges is going to be receiving the Pishnayim. Now,
when it says it means that if it's not full term, it has to be alive?
Wait, one second, you'll see. So she has a Rosh HaMeis, Taima de Rosh HaMeis. And so over here, what's clear is that if it went to full term, but it did not come out alive, it came out as a stillborn, so Ha Rosh Ochai, it's clear in the Mishnah. It's a basic diuk in the Mishnah that if the fetus was full term and it comes out alive, so Haba Achra B'chol HaNachla Nami Lo Havi. The next child that comes out is not going to be a B'chor LaNachla. Why? Because once the head emerges outside of the mother, a head that was full term and came out alive, that's Leda. That is considered birth. So you're telling me now that our whole Mishnah is here to teach me that when the head emerges, that's considered Leda, and meanwhile we have a Mishnah B'charos that already taught us this information. And the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? The Mishnah and Becharos is talking about human birth. Our Mishnah over here is talking about the birth of an animal. And maybe they're not comparable. And even after knowing the Mishnah Becharos, I still don't know our halach as it relates to animals. Now, why are not humans and animals not comparable regarding birth? So the Gemara gives a couple of reasons why they're not comparable. Number one, in Prusdor Lebehema, because when it comes to a behema, the physiology, the anatomy of an animal is it does not have a Prusdor, does not have a canal. Now, what exactly the Gemara means by this when it says it does not have a canal, it's not super clear. Meaning, obviously, both an animal and a human have some form of a birthing canal. Okay, it could be, meaning Rashi writes, that when it comes to a human, the birthing canal is going to be a little bit longer in that just simply the way a human is presented. So the legs and the thighs are like part and parcel of the canal. Okay, so in other words, anatomically, the birthing experience is a different experience for humans as they are for animals. That's point number one. Point number two, says the Gemara. On top of that, a face of a human, obviously, is more distinctive in its features than that of an animal. And so therefore, maybe the head coming out of a human is a more significant moment halachically because it has what we would call a partsuf, a very distinctive face. Mashein came by an animal, not so. So maybe you could make that argument. The Mishnah Becharos is here to tell me about the definition of birth by a human. Our Mishnah here, the fourth parak of Chulin, is talking about the definition of Leda by an animal. And even though it's the same definition, but they're not comparable, and maybe that's the Chiddush. The Gemara says, I reject that as well. Hanami Tanina. Let's consider now a Mishnah we're going to be learning later on in our parak. The Mishnah, Shil Yishiyatza Samiksasa, Asura Be'achila. Kisimen Vlad Be'isha, Kach Simen Vlad Be'behema. The Mishnah later on will talk about what happens when the placenta emerges and there's no fetus. Now, there can't be. How can a placenta come out and there's no fetus? So it must be, Rachmanus, that there was a fetus. And unfortunately, the fetus just didn't survive the gestation period. And now, the fetus basically melded into the placenta. The assumption is that the placenta has parts of the fetus. And now, when the placenta emerges, so that means that there's the emergence of the fetus as well, with the placenta. Which part of the fetus came out with the placenta? Exactly. We don't know. And so therefore, we have to assume, worst case scenario, that whatever part of the shilya came out, so the fetus emerged with it, and not just any part of the fetus, but we'll assume that that comes out as well. Worst case scenario. So the Gemara says, and the Mishnah punctuates by saying, Kisimen vlad be'isha, kach simen vlad be'behema. The definition of birth by an animal is the same definition as the birth of a man, of a human. So now we have a clear mission that tells us that there's no differentiation. You could have made arguments to differentiate. That's wonderful. The Mishnah says it's the same. So now, let's go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah starts off with a limb that emerges and then retracts into the mother. If you want to tell me that the whole focus of the Mishnah was on the limb, so that's great. So where's the Chiddush lie in the Mishnah? In the Reisha. But Ela'i Amar lo de Reisha Davka, v'lo de Seifa Davka. But if you want to tell me that the first half of the Mishnah is not about the limb, it's about the fetus. Where's the Chiddush? Second half of the Mishnah. Oh, but wait 1 second. We just concluded, after a good amount of Gemara, but we now have concluded that the second half of the Mishnah, that with the emerging head, the fetus now is considered born, that's also not a Chiddush as well. So, Lama Lila Misnei Klal. So, I now have a Mishnah where there's no Chiddush in the Reisha, there's no Chiddush in the Seifa, and so now, what would be the point of the Mishnah? I've said this many times. I'm so happy to see when the Gemara says it as openly as it just did. There's no such thing as a Mishnah without a Chiddush. The whole point of the Mishnayos, a mission statement of the Mishnah, is to provide something which is a novel idea for us. And without any novelty whatsoever in the Mishnah, literally there's no point. There's no point in the Mishnah mentioning any of this. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? When all said and done, I hear you, and we're still going to defend Rav Yehuda Amarav. What's the defense of Rav Yehuda Amarav? Lo. La'olam a'ubar. When the Mishnah says it's mutar b'achila, talking about the fetus, we're not talking about the limb that emerged. The limb that emerged is going to be usher. Even when the limb goes back into the mother, it's still going to be usher. And as far as the Mishnah is saying, it's mutar b'achila, talking about the fetus. What was your hesitation? There's no chiddush. So there is a chiddush. And now we're finally going to get to the third option. I know it's a little bit strange, right? When the Mishnah says mutar b'achila, what's mutar b'achila? Is it talking about the limb or is it talking about the fetus? And now, oddly enough, there's going to be a third option. What could it possibly be? Uchidam Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak lo nitzrucha ela lamakom chituch, hachanami lo nitzrucha ela lamakom chituch. And the third option is going to be the makom chituch. And what does that mean? It means as follows. The fetus right now, the mother is somewhere in the middle of childbirth. And again, for whatever reasons, we're shechting the mother right now. We're not waiting for the fetus to emerge. And now what happens is that a limb of the fetus comes out of the mother, and then that limb is retracted back into the mother. That's the story of the Mishnah. Now, as far as Rav Yehuda Amarav is concerned, which is the halacha, that limb that extended is asur. Okay, that's clear. As far as the rest of the fetus that was in utero, that's going to be mutter. And that's also clear as well. However, there is a line in the sand. And that, right. And that line in the sand is going to be the part of the limb that's not outside, but is not inside as well. This is what the Gemara refers to as the makam chituch. Now, on one hand, it has not exited the mechitza. On the other hand, it's not ba behema. So where is this now? What does that mean? It has to be in the uterus. It's not in the uterus. It's not outside.
It's at the boundary.
Right. So it's halachically, physically, you're right. Halachically, it's in limbo. It's in limbo. And so now, what do we do with the makam chituch? So, if the arm went out and it remained out, so then as far as the makam chituch is concerned, you can't eat it. It's not treif, but it's not ba behema. So it is in a halachic, it's in a halachic limbo, but a halachic limbo is means you can't eat it. Ah, but if the limb went out and then the limb went back in again before the shechita, and now you shechted it, so now that makam chituch is ba behema, it's in the animal, and so therefore you're allowed to eat it. So there is a difference between the limb being extended and not retracted versus the limb being extended and retracted, and that's going to be specifically for the makam chituch.
The tiny slice.
It's yeah, right. Right. How much are we talking about? I'm not sure. But in other words, but that's the third option, and that's what the Mishnah is making reference to. The makam chituch, if it comes back in again, now it's ba behema, and now you're allowed to eat it. Okay, tashma. And the Gemara now is going to see whether or not this is in fact a good defense of the Mishnah, and more specifically, a good defense of Rav Yehuda Merav. Tashma, the Gemara says, well, consider the following. Behema makasha leilet, hotzi ubers yado, v'yechzira v'achar kach shachat is imo, mutar b'achila. Now, this is not our Mishnah that we're quoting. This is a Braisa. Again, the Braisa opens up with the same storyline, right? The mother is about to give birth. She's having difficulty. Hotzi ubers yado. And what happens now is that the fetus extends its hand and retracts it. And then you shech the mother. Mutar ba'achila. Again, it is mutar ba'achila. Right? What is the it? It is mutar ba'achila. Shachar is ima v'achar kach ichziro. Let's say you shech the mother. And then, after shechita, it retracts its extremity into the mother. Asur ba'achila. Now, you can't eat it. Now, I think we can all guess what that is referring to when it says asur ba'achila. It's not talking about the fetus. Presumably, it's talking about the limb. Hold that thought. Let's say it extended its, the fetus extended its arm. You cut off the arm that came out. So, and then afterwards you shech the mother. So now what do I have? I not only have the extremity which was outside, it was also detached, it was disconnected. So shebechutz tamei v'aser. So the limb that's outside, so that's now going to be tamei, and it's going to be aser. Why is it Tameh? So Rashi quotes a Gemara that we're going to be learning later in the Masechta. It has to do with an idea of Avram and Achai being a avatum, being a source of Tumah. We'll talk about this later on. Anyway, Shebechutz Tameh Vaser, Shebefnim Tahor Umutah. The remaining part of the fetus that's inside is both Tahor, and of course, it's Mutah Bachila. Shachar is imo v'achar kachatcho habasar. If let's say you shech the mother, and then afterwards you cut the limb. So in other words, the limb was outside, but still connected. So now, what is going to be the status of that limb that was outside? And subsequently, what's going to be the status of the rest of the fetus? Habasar, maga nevela divrab meir. So as far as the shita of Rameir is concerned, the extremity that was outside during Shechita is now considered a nevela. And the rest of the fetus is now, halachically, in terms of Tumah Tahara, considered maga nevela. That it touches a nevela, and therefore is going to be tameh, in that it came into contact with a nevela.
If a fetus has a severed limb, right, because you cut it off, why wouldn't that fetus be considered a trach itself?
Again, we're talking about a fetus in utero.
I know, but it's
just not
the status.
No, 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 no. So Divrei Rabbi Meir, the Chachamim Omrim Maga Trefa Shchuta, and the Chachamim say that no, that even though the limb was outside of the mother during Shchita, because the limb is connected, so therefore, even though we're not allowed to eat that limb, but nevertheless, that limb is going to be not a nevela. And so therefore, the rest of the fetus is considered as if it came into contact with maga trefa, which is a nice way of saying it's fine, meaning that the limb is not going to be an avatama, and the rest of the fetus is not like it's not considered like it came into contact with any kind of tumma. The terminology of maga trefa, meaning trefa has no halachic status vis-a-vis tumma tahara. So see Rashi over here for a quick description of why the language over here is maga trefa. But in the meantime, however, what did we just see in the Brisa? A number of different permutations of the limb coming out, the limb retracting, not retracting, limb getting cut off, shechita occurring before that event, after that event, many different variables. But meanwhile, ketani miya, reisha, but the very opening of the brisa, how did it open up? We're now on the top of Samech Chesamun Beis. We're now four lines down. So ketani miya, three lines down. Reisha, hotzi ubar siyado ve'echziro, ve'achar kach shachar zimo, mutar ba'achila. That if the arm of the fetus extended outside and then came back inside, so we said that, the Brisa said, you're allowed to eat it. Now, what's the it? So my love, Aiver, presumably, it's talking about the limb. And again, this would be a kasha on Rav Yehuda Merav. And lo, Aubar. And the Gemara says, no, it's not talking about the limb, it's talking about the fetus. So, Ia Ubar, I'm a seifa. The Gemara says, okay. But then, keep reading in the Brisa. The Brisa continues, Shachar Asim Avachar Kachich Zero. If let's say you shech the mother, and afterwards it retracts, asr ba'achila, so then you're not allowed to eat it. What's the it over there? We all know what the it is referring to. E uber amay asr. The Gemara says it can't be talking about the fetus. The fetus never left the mother. Of course the fetus is mutter ba'achila. The Brisa is saying that it is asr ba'achila. It's obviously talking about the limb. It's not talking about the fetus. And so now we have to be consistent when reading a Brisa. If the first part of if we just establish the second half of the Brisa is clearly talking about the limb, the first part of the Brisa is also talking about the limb as well. And this obviously presents a kasha on Rav Yehuda Merav. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Kedam Rav Nachman Yitzchak lo nitzricha ela makom chituch, hachanami lo nitzricha ela makom chituch. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that we're talking about the part of the limb that is on the border. In other words, not inside of the uterus, not outside, external to the animal, but is resting now on the border, that makam chituch, that's what the Brisa is making reference to. Ini, the Gemara says, is this really plausible? V'haki asa avimi mi bechuzai. Asa v'aisa masnitsa biyadei. You know, avimi comes in from bechuzai, and he brings the following Brisa, and the Brisa reads as follows. Parsa hechzir achol. Prasos hechzir achol. If it's the Gemara now, the Brisa over here is darshaning the pasuk, regarding the Psukim in Parsha Shmini. When the Torah describes the camel, it describes it using the word parsa and parsos. Hoof and hoofs. And what exactly is the Torah driving at? And the Gemara now is quoting a Brisa. Now the Brisa here is very short, very succinct, and a little bit vague. The Brisa says that when it comes to the hoof, that's parsa, so hechzir, if it goes back, if it retracts, so then you can eat it. Parsos, and also the second mention of the hooves, if it retracts, hechzir echol. What is that talking about? My love, hechzir parsa echol. Parsa lo hechzir. My love, hechzir parsa echol. Parsa lo hechzir parsa echol. Ubar. So the Gemara, parsa lo hechzir parsa echol ubar. So the Gemara says, well, no, we're not talking about the hoof that emerged, we're talking about the fetus. Again, in defense of Rav Yehuda Merav, the Gemara deflects and the Gemara says, the focus over here of the heter is not going on the emerging limb, it's talking about the fetus. And again, we're back to asking the same question for now the third time this morning. Well, if we're talking about the fetus, so then whether or not the limb goes back or does not go back is totally immaterial. And so what difference does it make? So Amar of Nachman Yitzchak, and by the way, this is the original time that he said it. Because the previous two times, the Gemara says, you know, kid the Amar of Nachman Yitzchak, like he said elsewhere. This is the elsewhere. Meaning it's on this very brisa that he said it. Lo nitzucha ela makam chituch. So you need it for the makam chituch. Again, we're talking about the part of the limb that's on the border. Not outside of the animal, not inside the uterus, but on the border. For that makam chituch, so for that, it's going to make a difference whether or not it retracts or does not retract. Now, v'hatrei krai kanasiv la. The Gemara says, okay, wonderful. So that's what the brisa is teaching me about the makam chituch. Now, even though it was a very short brisa, the brisa was clearly making two points. Meaning one on the word parsa, and the other one on the word prasos. What's the second drasha? The first drasha is talking about the makam chituch. That's wonderful. Second drasha, so my love chad le'ever, v'chad le'makam chituch. Presumably, one's talking about the limb, and the other one's talking about the makam chituch. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Lo, chad le'makam chituch. No, one is talking about the makam chituch, as we already identified. What's the second drasha? V'chad le'kalot b'mei para. It's talking about a mutated fetus. The Gemara entertains very often a scenario in which you have a fetus coming out of its mother where it's mutated. The mother was a kosher animal with the chewing of its cud and the split hooves, the mother was kosher. And then what emerged out of the mother? Oddly enough, a mutation. What emerged out of the mother is a offspring with its hooves being fused together. It's not split. Under those circumstances, are we allowed to eat the fetus? So the halacha is it's a machlokas, but Rabbi Shimon says, you're not allowed to eat the fetus. Sorry. You're not allowed to eat the emerging offspring. However, what Rabbi Shimon's going to teach us is the following. That's only if the mutated offspring were to be born. If the mutated offspring was not born, and it was found inside of the mother, so what the Gemara is going to teach us is this is going to be now our second drasha. The second drasha is there to teach us that according to Rabbi Shimon, as long as the mutated fetus was inside of the mother during Shechita, you're allowed to eat it. In other words, it does not have its own identity. It's subsumed under the identity of its mother. V'aliba de Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara now spells this out. D'amar Rabbi Shimon, kalab ben para, asur. The kalab ben para is going to be asur, but hani mila hecha de yatsa la'avir olam. But that's only if it's born. But if discovered only in utero, even though it does not have the simone kashrus, but because it was inside of the mother, it's going to be now identified with its mother being kosher, it too is going to be kosher. And so that now represents the second drasha of prasos, and so therefore the first one is limited to only the makam chituch, and so far what we have done for three quarters of today's daf is we defended Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. We're going to go a little bit further for today, but in the meantime, let's just take a moment to pause and recap. Our Mishnah talks about the halacha ben pakua, assuming we all know that if the fetus is inside the mother and you shech the mother, so the fetus now does not require shechita, it's nitar b'shechitas imo. And the Mishnah is, assuming that we already know that, discussing the scenario of what happens if the fetus extends any one of its limbs prior to the shechita. So that limb that extended is going to be aser. What if it extends and it retracts? So here, even though it's a plausible way to read the Mishnah, is that it's mutar b'achila, meaning the limb itself is mutar b'achila, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says no, that's not correct. Once the limb has emerged, that limb that emerged now has a status of trefa, and that limb is now going to be aser. And when the Mishnah says it's mutar b'achila, it's talking about the rest of the fetus that remains in utero. And then as far as what difference does it make whether or not the limb extends and retracts or just extends and remains extended, if the limb is going to be usher in either case, why does the Mishnah seem to make a difference between the two scenarios? So the answer is, and we saw this answer now three times in today's daf, the makam chituch. The makam chituch, that part of the limb that was literally on the border, not outside of the mother, but not inside the uterus, so for that it's going to make a difference whether or not it is the limb has external and remains external, or external and retracts and goes back inside. Good. And so for three quarters of today's daf, the Gemara defended the shita of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. But as I mentioned, the beginning of Shir today, there's another way to read the Mishnah, a very plausible way to read the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says that if the limb were to retract its mutter, the it is going on the feet, on the limb itself. And this is now going to be the opinion of Ula. Ula Amar Rav Yochanan. The Gemara now takes us to a second opinion on our Mishnah. Aver atzmo mutter. The aver itself is going to be mutter, meaning assuming that the aver retracts and goes back into the mother. Amale Rav Yehuda Lula, Vaha Rav Shmuel Dami Tavayu Aver atzmo aser. So Rav Yehuda says to Ula, and what are you going to be doing about the shittas of Rav and Shmuel? Interesting, by the way. First time we're hearing that Shmuel sides with Rav on this issue. Up until now, it's only been said over in the name of Rav. It's been Rav Yehuda Marav. But now we've learned it's also the opinion of Shmuel as well. So the simple question to Ula is, and you're just going to ignore the opinion of Rav and Shmuel. So Amalei Man Yavlei Ma'afra de Rav Shmuel Malina Einai. So we have an expression in English with all due respect. So this is going to be your parallel expression in the Gemara. But they say it nicely, though. With all due respect, it really depends on how you say it and the tone. But usually, with all due respect, implies a level of sarcasm and, quite frankly, disrespect. Over here, it's important to read it with the proper tone. I'm not sure if I'm doing it correctly. But over here, Man Yavla Me'afra D'Rav Shmuel Malinan Einai. Ula says, if I were to take the dust of the Beis HaKvaros, where Rav and Shmuel are buried, and I were to put them on my eye, I'd be honored. Meaning, I respect Rav and Shmuel. And obviously, they're the Balei HaMesora. Okay, but with all due respect, and now I'm saying it, but with all due respect, I disagree. So, Ela Hachiam Rav Yochanan. Because, and Ula, by the way, is not just formulating his own opinion. He also has it as part of the Mesora from Rav Yochanan. So there are many different examples of basa basada chefalo sochelu. Again, yesterday's parsha. You go back and you read the pasuk. So as I explained in the beginning of Shir today, what the pasuk is indicating is that when something is within a mechitza and leaves that mechitza, it now has a status of trefa. Now we're but just learning one example of this idea where the fetus is inside and the fetus. If the fetus remained inside, it would have been now in the protective environment of its mother. The shechita of the mother would be a matir for the fetus inside. But that's just but one example. There are actually numerous examples of where there is a protective environment, and you're not allowed to leave the protective environment. And once you do so, you're going to now have a status of iser. And the Gemara over here is now going to point out, how far do we take this idea of basar basada trefa lo sochelu, that once it's out in the field, leaving its protective mechitzos, it's no good. So kishapar lachakas of gabe chatas shiyatsa chutz mechitzasa v'chazra aser chatas hu depart rachmanaba avakomila came into hader shari. You see, generally speaking, I would have said without any other information that this is a global rule. It's a general idea that when something has a protective mechitza and it leaves the protective mechitza, it's going to be aser. However, the Torah goes out of its way to teach us in one scenario that it's going to be aser, which means that in all other scenarios, it's going to be mutter. Where's the one scenario where the Torah says beferish, that leaving its mechitzas is going to be aser? And that's going to be the Karban Chatas. You go to Parsha Shmini, and you see the exchange that takes place over there between Aaron, Moshe, the day of Hakamas HaMishkan, the death of Nadav and Avihu, and karbanos that were eaten, karbanos that were not eaten, and a whole machlokus between Aaron and Moshe. And one of the arguments that Moshe says to Aaron is, you know, if the chatas would have left the mechitza of the Mishkan, then I understand. It's possible you're not allowed to eat it. But that didn't happen. And why aren't you eating the chatas? So from that little exchange over there, we see clearly that when it comes to a carbon chatas, when it leaves the mechitzas of the azara, so then it becomes usr. That means that anything else that is provided a mechitza of protection, even though it left the mechitza, that doesn't mean it becomes usr. If it leaves and it comes back in, it's going to be mutter. Good. This is the Mesora of Rabbi Yochanan. And that means then that Ula says, good. Huh? Good. So now the limb that went out, that left the mother, but comes back in again, is going to be mutter. Right, and right, and the, yeah. And then the way to read the Mishnah would be, as I pointed out at the beginning of Shir today, the easiest way to read the Mishnah, Mutar Ba'achila is going on the limb. The Gemara, however, challenges, Meisvei. The Basar Basada Trefalo Sochela, Matam Alamar Lafisha Matzina Ba'Maisar Sheni Bikurim, Sha'afa Pishiyatzu Chutz Mechitzas Mechazer Mutarin. Now, Maisar Sheni and Bikurim. Maisar Sheni and Bikurim have to be eaten by Mechitzas Son, within their walls. Now, it happens to be that the walls over here are the Mechitzas of Yerushalayim, not that of the Azara. But doesn't matter. The point is, they have a Mechitza. And what if your Maisar Sheni went into Yerushalayim and then left Yerushalayim? It's not a big deal. You bring it back into Yerushalayim. So there, when it comes to Maisar Sheni and when it comes to Bikurim, so when they leave their Mechitza, so it could be remedied by bringing it back into the Mechitza. Yachol af ze kain, tam alamar trefa. So I might have thought that the same thing should be true over here. So the Torah comes to tell me the word trefa. My Talmuda, how exactly did that drasha work? Amaraba ki trefa. Ma trefa kevish in itrefa shuv ein la heter. Av pastor kevish yasa chutz mechitza so shuv ein la heter. The drasha is that when you have an uber b'mei imo, and any limb leaves the mother, that limb that left the mother has a status of trefa. A trefa is a irreversible status. When an animal has a status of a trefa, nothing can undo that status. Hagam, when the limb leaves the mother, that limb now has a status of trefa, and it now becomes an irreversible status. And the Gemara therefore concludes, tiyufta de'ula tiyufta. This brisa is a kasha against Ula, not just a kasha, a refutation. And so the Gemara does not end up siding with Ula, even though, as I pointed out in the beginning, it's an easier way to read the Mishnah. It's certainly an easier way to read the Mishnah.
But you're picking Rabbi Yochanan against Rabbi Shmuel, and they're trumping him.
I hear your question, but that's the Gemara quoted a Braisa, right? The Braisa is you're going to be your ace card over here. Okay, okay. So today's daf, a introduction into the world of Ben Pekua, beginning of the fourth perek. Our focus today was on any part of the animal that leaves the mother and is no longer b'mechitzasa. And now a question of whether or not that is a reversible and irreversible status. Machlok is between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yochanan. Rav Yehuda holds it's irreversible. Rav Yochanan says it's reversible. The Gemara clearly sides with Rav Yehuda Merav. That's an irreversible status. Once the head emerges, however, so that, according to everybody, according to our Mishnah, that is now considered Leda, and that certainly, even if it retracts and goes back in, the fetus is no longer a fetus, but it's considered now its own independent entity, requiring its own Shechita.